Church, I would like us to open our Bibles, please, to Acts chapter number 20. Acts chapter number 20. And I'm going to read from verse number 7 through to verse number 12. Acts 20 from verse number 7 through to verse number 12. Now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight. There were many lamps in the upper room where they were gathered together, and in a window sat a certain young man named Eutychus, who was sinking into a deep sleep. He was overcome by sleep, and as Paul continued speaking, he fell down from the third story and was taken up dead. Verse 10, but Paul went down, fell on him, and embracing him said, "Do not trouble yourselves, for his life is in him." Now when he had come up, had broken bread and eaten and talked a long while, even till daybreak, he departed, and they brought the young man in alive, and they were not in a little, comforted. Let us pray. Father, thank you for another opportunity to gather around your word to hear you speak to us, not just as a church, but also individually. Lord, we just ask that you would let your light shine into our heart this morning so that it will bring illumination into our heart. I ask for a fresh grace and an anointing upon the ears and the hearts of your people, precious people seated here today and those ones joining us online. And I pray, oh God, that this word will mix with faith in their heart. Lord, I pray that the same anointing be upon me. Anoint my tongue and make it like the pen of a ready writer, Lord, so that your word will drop as the rain and distill as the dew of the morning, to bring encouragement to your people, to bring empowerment to your to their spirit man, to bring clarity to whatsoever confusion in their heart and in their life, and more importantly, to make us more and more conformed into the image and the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you because you're going to do this and much more because we have asked in Jesus' mighty name. And the church say aloud, amen. On August 21st, 2017, something happened in a section of the United States. They experienced what we refer to as total solar eclipse. Total solar eclipse was experienced by just a section of the United States. That happens, for some of you that are not familiar with that, that happens when the sun, the moon, and the earth kind of come into a form of alignment. They come into a form of alignment such that the moon stays in between the sun and the earth. And that happened at that time. Now, this total solar eclipse happens on the average like once every 18 months or thereabout. But apparently, it doesn't cover the entire surface of the earth. It doesn't even cover the entire surface of a nation. It only affects a particular section. And so, for you to be in a particular location and experience it again, scientists have discovered that it will take about 360 years to 410 years for the same total solar eclipse to affect the section of the Earth again. What that means is that it's very unlikely that you will be able to see it more than once in a lifetime. That's if you see it at all. In other words, it will take several lifetimes to be able to see more than one. It's very rare. That's basically what I'm trying to say. It's very rare for it to occur in a particular location. And so not many people have been able to say that they have a first-hand experience of this total solar eclipse. Now, the issue that we want to talk about this morning is even rarer than the experience of total solar eclipse. We have come to the story of a young man that experienced something that not many of us, I dare say, have actually been able to witness, even in our lifetime. And what am I talking about? I'm talking about resurrection. This morning, I would like to continue with our series we started a couple of weeks ago. We titled it Action Park, which is kind of going through the book of Acts, sequentially. And we've come to Acts chapter number 20. Today, I want to specifically talk about what I've titled Resurrection Today. Church, please say that with me. Resurrection Today. Now, we've come to this beautiful story. It's a very short one, and I'm not going to spend much time there, because what I actually intend for us to do is to use this story to act as a launching pad into another story, which we're actually going to spend a bit more time on. And it's because, this is unusual, because the book of Acts that we've been going through, we've been doing a bit of exposition in this chapter, but I'll just use this story act as a launching pad, like I said, into a more detailed story. Now, Paul has been going around, like we have noticed over the past couple of weeks, and he's come to a place called Troas. Now, Paul came to Troas. He knew exactly that he was not going to spend so much time in this place. And so, in fact, he was going to be leaving the next day. So he wanted to say all the things that he needed to say. He had this very short period of time. And so he started preaching, and he preached for a long time. Now, verse 8 of Acts chapter 20 mentioned the fact that there were many lamps in the upper room where they were gathered together. So it must have been in the evening, Paul was preaching to them. And the significance of that is the fact that Luke, who happened to be a doctor, who is actually the writer of Acts, the book of Acts, and as well as the gospel according to Luke, let us know that there were lights everywhere in the upper room, and there were so many lamps. Now, lamps obviously are not like the light source that we use today. So it is possible that Dr. Luke is trying to tell us about something that might interest you. Whenever you put on your lamp, it sucks in oxygen, you know. So maybe Dr. Luke is trying to tell us that there were so many lamps there, it sucks up a lot of oxygen, and there were many people crowded in that place. So it's kind of a stuffy environment. But there was a young boy or a young man who was there sitting listening, you know, and was fighting something, was fighting sleep, you know. And like some of you do fight sleep on Sunday morning in church, you know. Don't look at anybody, just keep looking at me, you know. And this man was fighting sleep, was, you know. I've actually had the opportunity of preaching several times, both in our church and in other places. And one of the things that you as a preacher get so disappointed to see is people sleeping when you're talking. but when you come to a place like this and you see Apostle Paul, I mean, the whole Apostle Paul was preaching and people were sleeping, or someone was sleeping, you get encouraged that after all, you know, if Apostle Paul could be preaching and somebody was sleeping, then I think I'm in a good company. Anyway, so this young man slept and he fell off from the third story and he was dead. You know, it wasn't just in coma, it wasn't kind of fainting experience. The Bible actually refers to as dead. And it's interesting that a doctor was actually in the scene, so he would have been the one to actually have pronounced him dead, you know. So this was not because there are certain people that have actually come up with this argument that maybe this guy just, you know, passed out or whatever. The Bible actually said that this man was taken up dead. Paul was there, so Paul went there and he ministered. In verse number 10, the Bible says, but Paul went down, fell on him, and embracing him said, do not trouble yourself, for this is life, is in him. Now when he had come up, had broken bread and eaten, verse 11, and talked a long while, even till daybreak, he departed. So what Paul did was, he went to this man, he ministered to him. the young man resurrected, came back to life, and Paul still went back, you know, to continue with the preaching, you know, because he needed to actually finish his teaching. And I find that quite very amusing. Now, but what we have experienced here is a very rare occurrence. It's a very rare thing that takes place. If I were to ask people here, there's probably not going to be more than one or two, or perhaps maybe there is nobody who has actually been a witness to resurrection. Now, when we hear the word resurrection, what comes up into our mind? We think about something that will happen in the future. And of course, we are not incorrect, because the Bible talks about the fact that there is going to be a resurrection. And that's supposed to gladden our heart, because it's not going to be the end of life. For some of us that have loved ones who have passed on, there is the beautiful news of a resurrection. It's not just the end of, especially when they knew the Lord and they died, they died as believers. They're going to be resurrected again. So there is that sense of joy that we're going to be seeing them at some time in the future. The description that the Bible gives it is such that people are the grave is actually going to give up its dead, you know, and they are going to rise again. Everyone that has been dead, right from the time of Adam up till now, they are going to actually come up. Somebody says, so what's going to happen to those ones who have been cremated, body has been turned into ashes and blown away? I don't know, but somehow the ashes are going to come back from somewhere, from wherever. You know, the other time I was jokingly telling one of our daughters, we're having chicken and she was breaking the bone and chewing and whatever. And I said, I hope at resurrection, you know, you're going to vomit some of these bones. Anyway, that's on a light note, because I'm not sure. The Bible doesn't talk about the resurrection of chickens. So you know, so we think about resurrection in terms of a future event. And like I said, that's not incorrect. It's just that it's incomplete, because Jesus tells us exactly what we need to know about resurrection. And I want to just make one or two points based on what Jesus said about the resurrection. And if there's anyone that you want to listen to talking about this phenomenon, this very strange, rare phenomenon that is going to take place, that has taken place, as I'm going to be showing you in the life of certain people, you will want to listen to Jesus, because he knows about resurrection. And so we turn to John chapter number 11, where there was an encounter between Jesus and certain set of people. John chapter number 11. So there is a lot of background to this story. There was a man by the name of Lazarus. Lazarus, we are made to understand, as two sisters, Mary and Martha. At a particular point in time, Lazarus died. Jesus was not around. They sent to Jesus when Lazarus was actually sick. But Jesus waited where he was and until Lazarus died. And so Jesus was going to come into the place where Lazarus has been buried now. He has come to the town where Lazarus has died. And as he came into that place, Martha, one of the sisters, I'm just giving you a background. Martha, one of the sisters, came to Jesus. And she said to Jesus, Jesus, we sent for you earlier. I'm sure if you had been here when Lazarus was sick, I'm sure he wouldn't have died. And Jesus made a very important statement. Look at what the Bible says in verse number 20. Let's start from verse number 20. John chapter 11, I'll start from verse 20 now. Now Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Now, as soon as Jesus said that, Martha went into the usual, you know, thinking about resurrection, just like many of us are thinking about resurrection today. Look at what the Bible says. Martha says in verse 24, said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. It's going to happen in the last day. I know he's going to come back to life. Jesus mentioned something. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. The first thing I want you to notice is that resurrection is a person. Resurrection is a person. And that person is who? Jesus. Resurrection is not just an event for the future. It's not just a feel-good doctrine that we tell each one another so that we'll feel good that, okay, something is going to happen to our body at some point in the future after we are dead. It is actually a person. So each time you hear the word resurrection in the Bible, you need to look at the context, whether it's talking about the person of the Lord Jesus Christ or what Jesus Christ has brought to us, which I'm going to share very briefly, or it's talking about the future event. Resurrection is a person. Jesus made a profound statement. He said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. Now, Jesus is not going to talk about two kinds of death. It says, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whosoever believes in me, even though he may die." What sort of death is that? He's talking about natural death, something that is going to happen to you and I if Jesus tarries. Even though he may die, he shall live. Why? Because living, as far as God is concerned, is union, is maintaining and continue to maintain a union with Christ. So if he dies, he's going to live again. Why? Because he's going to experience resurrection. I'm going to raise him up. But he went ahead in verse 26. "And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." So this second die, or this second death, is not talking about the physical death. Whoever lives and believes in me, like all of us present here, I believe, whoever lives and believes in me will never die. So what sort of death is he talking about? It's not talking about physical death. Because if we stay around here for a while and Jesus tells us we're still going to physically die, but he's saying that he's not going to experience a separation from me, he shall never be disconnected from me. That's what he's talking about. Because death is actually a separation from God, this kind of spiritual death. So Jesus went to that extent to explain, just to clarify something to matter. I am the resurrection. Resurrection is not just an event. If you are connected with me, there is something that you experience that is called resurrection. So I am the person of resurrection. That's the first thing I want you to take note of. Jesus is not just going to bring resurrection. He is resurrection. Just like the Bible talks about God. God brings light, but God himself is light. God displays love, but God himself is love. God is life. It does not just give life. The same way, Jesus is resurrection. Is the embodiment, if you like, of resurrection. And the resurrection and the life. But that's not the only thing about resurrection. The second thing I want to say is that resurrection is a position. Resurrection is a position, or if you like, is a place, is a spiritual position, is a spiritual place. Now, look at what the Bible says after Jesus has already introduced himself to Martha. "I am the resurrection, I am the life. I am the resurrection and the life." Verse 27 says, she said to him, verse 26, "And whoever believes or whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." And Jesus will now pose this question to Martha. Do you believe this? In other words, Jesus is wanting here Martha to take a position. Do you believe this? I want you to take a position. And this is a position of faith I want you to take. I want you to take a position. And I'm glad about the response of Martha. Martha says in verse 27, she said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." Now, this position that we're talking about is a position that you assume because of your faith in Christ. So it's not just a person, or person of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's also a position, a spiritual position. And it's real. That position is real. That place is real. In other words, when you come to Christ, what happens to you is that you are transformed and placed in a particular position. You occupy a place in the realm of the Spirit. So you are actually seated somewhere in the realm of the Spirit as we speak right now. Somebody says, "But I'm in church. I'm in the fortress and the gathering of God's people here physically in church." Yes, that's where you are physically. But positionally, something took place in your heart and in your life such that you are transformed into a place. So you are in a place which is referred to as a resurrected position right now. Look at what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter number 2, so that I may just clarify what I've just said. Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter number 2. And I'm going to read from, look at what the Bible says as from verse number 1. "And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin." So he's talking about believers who have come to Christ now. You were dead. He's talking about the church, talking to the church. You were dead in trespass and sin. Jump to verse number 4. But God, I always, when I come across this particular verse, but God, because if you read from verse number 1 to verse number 3, you will see the state of man without God. I would say, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were what? Dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Verse 6, and raised us up. And he raised us up. What's that talking about? He's talking about resurrection. And he raised us up. And he didn't say here, the Bible doesn't say here, he will raise us up. No, he raised us up. Past. It has happened. So where you are today, because of your faith in Christ, there has been a transportation of some sort in the realm of the spirit, so that you were moved from the position of being dead to another position. It's a resurrected position. Look at what the Bible says in that. It says, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He made you to sit in heavenly places. So right now, you're not just sitting on a chair in church. You are actually positionally and spiritually, you are seated in a place called the heavenly places, the high places. Now, I'm not making this up. This is what Jesus or God says about your position right here, right now. So resurrection is not just a person of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's also a place. It's a position that you have been transformed into. And that's what happens when you put your faith in the person of the resurrection. So when I come to Christ and I put my faith in him, in his finished work, I am transported. I am transported spiritually to occupy a place in the realm of the spirit called the heavenly places. And this heavenly places or the heavenly realm is far above. In another passage, it talks about it being far above principalities and powers and rulers and dominion. That's where you occupy positionally. Positionally. In other words, you are no longer dead. You have been raised. So this is not a future thing. It's something that has taken place at the point of your salvation. Let me tell you this. Any unbeliever that you have, when you are an unbeliever, let me rephrase, when you are an unbeliever, your spirit man was not a weak spirit. Your spirit man was a dead spirit. That's what the Bible says. That's why it says in verse number 1, and you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. You were dead at that time. So that's one of the things that should arouse passion within us whenever we come across people that don't know Christ, because God sees them as dead. They are dead men walking. And that should not make us to gloat and to become proud, but it's supposed to make us to have compassion upon these people because they are dead in sins and trespasses. So what happens to you is that there is a resurrection that takes place in your heart. Your spirit man, which is dead, becomes alive by the reason of the power of resurrection. Okay, so we have established two things. Number one, that resurrection is a person. Jesus says, I'm the resurrection and the life. So he is actually a person. Jesus is an embodiment of that, of resurrection. But it's not just a person. It's also a position. It's a place in the realm of the spirit where you are occupying right now because you have put your faith in Christ. And that's why Jesus asked Martha, I want you to take a position. Do you believe what I've told you? And Martha said, you are the Christ. I believe what you've said. Okay, now, what is the meaning of all of this? Because it is good to know that Jesus is the person of resurrection. It's also good to know that we have been transported to a place called the heavenly places by the reason of our resurrection. But all of these things make no, it does not make any difference if it actually makes no difference. It's going to be just some academic exercise of exposition of the Bible if it does not actually make an impact into the way you live, into the way you live your life.
So that takes me to the third thing, which is, in my opinion, actually extension of the second. I decided to break them down because of the reason that I want to put emphasis on this third, because that's actually the core of the matter. I mean, all of these things I've said is building up to what I'm about to say. Now, resurrection is a position of power. Resurrection is not just a person. Resurrection is not just a place or a position. Resurrection indeed is a position of power. So right now, you have actually experienced resurrection. And that's why I said that resurrection is not just a future event. If you have placed your faith in Christ, you have experienced resurrection. Your spirit man that was dead has now become alive unto Christ. So you have experienced resurrection. But the importance of the resurrection that you have experienced is the fact that it comes with kingdom privileges and power. What do I mean? Resurrection is what guarantees that you have access to power. And this is very important. And that's why when we talk about the life of a believer, I've said it before, let me say it again. A Christian life is not a normal life. A Christian life is a life of power. A Christian life is a life that is loaded with power. So when you are saying you are living a life of resurrection, or what many people term the resurrected life, we're not talking about something special for some certain people. We're talking about an experience that every one of us, by the reason of our faith in Christ, ought to have. So resurrection, like I said, is not just something for the future. It is for today. It has been experienced by you when you come to Jesus and made him your Lord and Savior. Now, sadly, not many of us can boldly say that we experience that, we feel that way. And I'm coming to that in a short while. But let me establish again. Resurrection guarantees that you have access to power, because it has an impact on the way you live your life. You have come to a place of power. You have come to a place of power because of resurrection. You know, the other time a gentleman came to my office, you know, came to my clinic, and he had a broken bone around there is a bone around here called the metatarsal, you know. So he had that bone broken. One of them was broken. Metacarpal, you know. So he had the bone broken, and then he came to my office, and I was trying to ask him, so how did you experience this fracture? And he said, you know, I got angry, and whenever I get angry, I just punch things, you know. I just punch whatever is around me, you know. I had to look very well that, you know, I want to be sure that this man does not get angry in my office. Anyway, you know, he says something, whenever I get angry, something comes upon me and I'm not able to control myself. I just have to let it out. And the way to let it out is to punch something. And he will punch something until something gets broken. And this particular instance was not just the first instance. It has happened again and again, so that it's been broken over and over and over again. It has broken those bones, you know. That tells me that this man lacked the power of resurrection. You know why? Because when you come to Christ, you come to a place of power. That power is called the resurrection power, and that's what makes you to be a candidate to live a resurrected life. Now, in that realm, in the heavenly places where you are, you have been equipped with the power to be able to control, not just things outside, but the things within. As a matter of fact, I think it's in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 32, which talks about the fact that somebody that has a control over himself and his spirit is actually of a greater, is considered better, of a superior strength than somebody that is able to conquer a city. All right? Because somebody that is able to conquer a city is going to just use the physical power, you know, strength, strategy. But somebody that is able to control his spirit is exhibiting a greater power. to be able to control himself from within. Now, this power is what is available to you and to me by the reason of the fact that we have come in contact with the person of resurrection who has transported us and translated us into the realm of resurrection such that we are living what we refer to as a resurrected life. That resurrected life, what makes it beautiful is that it comes with power. So you are able to, when for instance, things happen around you and it brings loads of guilt upon you and it brings load of condemnation upon you, you are able to tap upon that power of resurrection to be able to overcome that internal feeling, of guilt and of condemnation. Why? Because you are now dwelling in a place of resurrection, in a place of power. That's why it is not just an event for the future. It is an event that you actually can tap into because you have had an encounter with the person of resurrection. That's what I'm talking about. That's why this is very, very important. Now, after Jesus came into this place, it's interesting. Jesus came into the tomb, and when he got there, by the time Jesus got there, prior to this time anyway, Martha had gone to explain to Mary that Jesus was around, and so Jesus had met with Mary, and he asked, "Take me to the where Lazarus was laid," and so they took Jesus there, and Jesus was going to give them an instruction, which obviously was not exactly what they were expected. Look at what the Bible says, John chapter 11. We're going back there now. John chapter 11 and verse number 34. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." And so I jump now to verse 38. Then Jesus, again, groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave and a stone lay over against it. And Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Take away the stone. Obviously, Martha wasn't expecting any of this. Take away the stone. And Martha had to teach Jesus about, about mortuary science, you know, about what takes place to dead body, as if Jesus never knew, you know. He said, by this time, Martha, verse 39, Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, "Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead 4 days." In other words, Jesus, I think you're missing something. Maybe you didn't get what I said. This man has been dead 4 days. We called you. You didn't show up. By this time, it's don't bother. It's almost like saying, Jesus, don't do whatever you want to do outside here. Don't open this tomb. And Jesus made a very profound statement. He said this. Jesus said to her, verse 40, "Did I not say to you that if you will believe, you would see the glory of God? Did I not say to you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" Apparently, Jesus must have said this to Martha at some point, that you will see the glory of God. Now, pay very close attention. You see the word believe, and you see the word see. If you will believe, you will see the glory of God. Why is the link between believe and see? Because when you believe God, you have come to Christ in faith. And so when you put your faith in the person of resurrection, like I said, you are transported into a position of resurrection, or what you refer to as a resurrected position, where you are expected to begin to have the experience of a resurrected life and see the resurrected life in your own experience. Now, when he says, "Did I not say to you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" I am tempted to ask the question. At the end of the day, when Lazarus came out, everyone saw Lazarus. It was not just Martha or Mary that saw Lazarus. So what was different about what Jesus is talking about, seeing this glory of God? Now, because they only witnessed, all the other person only witnessed what happened. When the Bible talks about see, it's not just talking about witnessing as a spectator. It's talking about having the experience of it and benefiting from it. You're benefiting from that experience. So you are the actor. You're not just the spectator. Martha, in this place, had her brother brought back to life. That was a benefit of our faith in Christ, in the person of resurrection. So it's not just looking at it and seeing it and witnessing it as a spectator. That's not what he's saying. He's talking about the fact that there is a benefit that comes with the faith that you put in the person of resurrection. What am I saying, people of God? The resurrected life is a life not for the future, but for now. It is the life that we ought to be living now. The power that comes with that position, the heavenly realm that we have been placed together in Christ Jesus, is a function of the power of resurrection, and we ought to be beneficiaries of that today. So we are actually supposed to be people of God that benefit from that power today and that is looking forward to experiencing resurrection. So resurrection is both for today and for the future in some form and shape. The resurrection of today is the endowment of power, the ability to live the resurrected life, the life that Jesus actually died to give us today. And that's what I'm asking you, people of God, that you come to this platform and begin to believe in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, because that's what gives you the entrance, if you like, the key into the place where you can begin to have this power of resurrection work in your life. I know what you're thinking. You're probably there thinking, I am a believer, you know, but the kind of power that you're talking about, you know, taking place and working in my life, I'm not sure I can confidently say that that's my experience, you know. I can't say I'm living what we refer to as a victorious, resurrected life as a believer, you know. I'm not sure that is my experience. Does it mean that I'm not a saved person? No, that's probably not what it means. But I will tell you one of the reasons why it might appear that for many of us, even though we are born again, we are spirit-filled, we're supposed to be people of God, but we might not actually be experiencing or seeing this power, you know, of a resurrected Christ in our lives. Resurrection is an experience for dead people. I will say that again. Resurrection is an experience for dead people. In other words, I will change it again and move to another platform. The question is, are you dead to self? Are you dead to your will? Are you dead to your way? In other words, have you come to a point where you have said, it's not my life anymore. It is yours. By the reason of my job, I have had the privilege of coming across and, you know, seeing dead people, you know, fresh dead or long dead, you know. And one of the things that you discover is that dead people don't hug you. They don't contest opinion. They don't contest decisions. And of course, you don't have to be a doctor to know that. You know, while I was in the medical school, we would work on dead bodies, you know. I wanted to say live dead bodies, you know, but you know what I'm talking about. We call them cadavers, you know. And when we work on this particular part, maybe we're working on the tie and we have moved it to this side, and then we'll stop and say, guys, we're tired now. Let's come back, you know, in 2 days' time, 48 hours. You'll be amazed. The same position that you have left that body, that's the position you're going to meet it. And then you continue with whatever you want to do, you know. Why? Because the guy is dead. Now, I want to submit to you, people of God, that one of the reasons, perhaps, why many of us are not experiencing this resurrection power is that we have refused to die to self. Now, Eutychus, in Acts chapter 20, experienced that resurrection because he was dead. If he was not dead, what we're talking about today will not just be, it will not be resurrection. It will be resuscitation. And the power we're talking about is supposed to be for dead lives. So I'm challenging you, people of God, as I round up this morning, become dead to yourself. Become dead to your will. become dead to your opinion, your idea about the way your life is supposed to be run. Become dead to it. Because it's only that the resurrection power will be able to have his own full opportunity to walk through your life. Let's hear a dead man speak as I round up this morning. Acts chapter number 2. Or rather, Galatians chapter number 2. Look at what this dead man said. And as we read this passage, church, I want you to stand up upon your feet and just open your Bible. Acts chapter number 2. Let's rise up upon our feet, please. Galatians chapter number 2. Galatians chapter number 2. I want you to open your Bible and see what this dead man said. dead, quote and unquote now. Verse 20. This is what he says. I have been crucified with Christ. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. In other words, I am dead. I am dead. But Christ lives in me. And the life, this is not the resurrected life now. The life which I now live in the flesh. I now live this life in the flesh, but it's no longer my life. It is his life through me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by what? By faith. That is the faith that connects you to the person of resurrection that puts you at this platform called the resurrected life. At this resurrected platform, you are a dead man. You have no will. You have no your emotion of your own. You have no way of your no ways of your own. Your life is just, you are a walking dead man, as it were. Because the life that you now live is no longer your life. And the life which I now live is the life is in the flesh. I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. To experience this resurrection power, people of God, you must be dead to your will. This resurrection is for today. Lord, I just pray for your people this morning. I just pray, Lord, for myself and my brethren this morning. Oh, our desire is for you to live through us. Many of us have struggled to live on our own by ourselves while we put you somewhere around the corner to consult with when it is convenient. We're sorry about that, Lord. We're so sorry about that. We are making a new commitment this morning, saying, Lord, we are going to mortify our flesh. Put it to death. Put our will to death. Our ways to death. So that you and only you will have your way in us. We quit our struggles with you to impose our own opinion upon you, and asking you to bless it. Lord, we are asking in faith this morning that in a fresh way, you will take hold of our spirit man. You will take hold of our mind, our will, our emotions, and you will use it unto your glory. Once again, we get ourselves off the throne and we enthrone you, O God. We declare again that you are the potter. We are the clay indeed. Do with our lives as it pleases you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.